Even though, yes, it's difficult to live real with Hashem, once it becomes your business, once it becomes your ASIC, then a person finds ways to do it. We brought the Meiser from the Briskerov with Reb Chaim. He did something that was Makalkel, his Yiddishkeit. And the Briskerov had an excuse for him that he's a tipesh. Reb Chaim said, when it comes to people's businesses, everyone's a chochem. If he's a tipesh, it means it wasn't his business, it wasn't important enough to him. So brings another Meiser here from Yenis and Abishad. His beboifen doime ma'od es ha'uv da manyenes. Shebedina momenes loimdim b'halocha al tainas suboches v'kashois. Yeah, you're busy learning Baba Basi, you learn Baba Metzia, you learn Baba Kama. Complex tainas and migus and all sorts of complicated svaras that Baladinin can taina. Valpien mishtanu sedinin, and based on what these people say, the dinim changes. Umak shinoilam, the whole world always asks, Shebedelach klal Baladin amayratzes v'pshuta amheima. Who comes to Beis Din? Who's out there in the shuk working and has bad dini Torah or whatever? It's usually the simple people. Where did they come up with all these gewaltige tainas that the Talmud HaChachomim was sitting in the Beis Midrash can barely understand? You know, these guys learned the ketzos before they came to Beis Din? When it comes to a person's self, when he's got vested interests, he dredges up enormous wisdom in order to know how to get out of business, how to get out of deals and whatever. Koyach hanegiya shel ha'adam is one of the foundations of the whole approach to Musa. Is that koyach hanegiya shel ha'adam mania yisei lahavim dvorim amukim ulatoyim tainas subochos. The vested interest draws a person, mechavens a person to understand deep things and to claim complicated claims. Shere inyan nogeya la'esek sheloi. This is nogeya to what's important to you. Ukruch b'chach revach or hefset shel mamoyin. And the minute it comes to money, everybody's a chochem. Voisamidim kol yudi yiskel asek b'divrei Torah. If a person would approach his Torah, his Yiddishkeit, k'mo b'esek, like a business, then he would have enormous success. V'elon agiyas chazakas v'rotzen oz b'nogel limud ha'Torah v'kiyuma. V'yimotzes ha'tshuvos l'kol ha'shaylos shel bonav. If he would have an enormous negir for limud ha'Torah and for keeping the Torah, that was his business, he would find answers to all his children's questions, and he would be able to help everybody in Torah and be able to keep his own Torah going. Who you might say that derech liftoyach es libon belimud ha'Torah v'kiyumitz v'saya ba'avu b'yiru. He would be able to open up his children's hearts to limud ha'Torah and to keep the mitzvahs ba'avu b'yiru k'mo sheneva v'mishle im tevakshenu k'kesef u'kemetmunim. If you'll look for it like silver and like hidden treasures, if that's how you look for Torah, as tovin yiras Hashem v'das elokim timotze, then you'll understand yiras Hashem and das elokim you'll find. Means if you go after your ruchnis the way you go after your money, then you'll find it. One of the memches dvarim, lashik nikne Torah, is miut schoira, to minimize one's business dealing. Weinberg in his Memchesh Dvarim always uses the positive aspect of the mute. In other words, it doesn't say don't do business, it says mute business. It means there's a certain amount of business you have to do. So if you listen to his share of the Memchesh Dvarim, what he's doing is he's comparing Ruchnius to business. How does a person raise his business? So if you apply business principles to your Yiddish culture, you'll see it. Some of them are very simple. For example, a businessman wakes up in the morning and knows what he's going to do today, or he doesn't know what he's going to do today. Yes, his diary worked out already 6 months. You phone the guy, when can I come see you? You hear him going like this, you know. He's paging, you know, 25 pages through his diary to see what's in 6 months' time. Because his life's Masuda. When he goes to bed at night, does he know where his shoes are?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, he hasn't got 10 minutes, 15 minutes anymore to run around looking for his shoes are because business. He knows where the keys to the store are. He has a little cold, you know, the Baal Makolet. You ever go to the Makolet? It's locked. What happened? Who died? What have you done? Maybe he's got a cold. No, Baba Kula does not come to work because he's got a cold. Many, many, many things we can learn, prophets and what's important, what's not important, and how to organize your day and whatever from the businessmen. If you make Yiddishkeit your business and you apply business principles to it, simple business principles, you'll see it's an amazing thing. An amazing, amazing thing. First of all, how clever we get. We come with all amazing ways to keep ourselves going. And also how we've become a little bit more organized. We don't just leave it to chance. That may be pshat, I think, in what it means if you make your Torah kever, what's the lesson in the Mishnah? If you make your Torah kever permanent and your Shoira, or your pshat is arai, then you'll be matzliach. What does it mean? It means malachtecha, the tasem malachtecha arai. You have to work and you have to learn. You have to be a second Torah. No one says not. But which comes first? Is your Torah what's the ikka and the malachta is just there to support it, or is it the other way around? If you make your Torah permanent, that's what's fixed. That's what counts. You'll always be happy, because a person's always happy if he gets what he wants. Whereas when it comes to malachta, you'll never have what you want. Yesh mana roitza masayim. You'll never be satisfied. That's the American dream. That's why the American dream's plunged half the nation or more into depression. They all have what they want, but it's never enough. But if you make your ruchnias the ikka, then you'll always have what you want, because you always have ruchnias. The malacha's not going so well. But said you have to deal with it. It's a bit disappointing, but it doesn't break you, because that's not the ikka.
You have to know what is good for you. That means if you think the money is good for you, you will go after money. But if you know it's ruchnias,
so that's what the Mishnah is telling you. You have to know that ruchnias is what's the ikka. You see, people they talk about they come to live. Well, this is now people talk about making aliyah. So the first question they ask me is, you know, do you think I'll have chavrusas? Will I be able to learn? Now in Toronto, I'm learning 6 hours a day. When I get to 12, do you think I'll be able to learn 6 hours a day as well? You know, and then afterwards, you know, yeah, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, this is okay, so what am I going to do for panasa? That's his second question. So his Torah is kava, and his malachta is ara. But if the first question he wants to know is, where can I make a panasa? And it's an important question. You can't mezalzel that question either. But if his first question is, what's with panasa? And he's got a good panasa. Now he'll mistadeh, he'll find somewhere to learn b'di yevid. So then, you know, what comes first? Have I got a place to learn? Not to about time, not to about the amount of time one spends. It could be an hour learning and 24 hours working. Doesn't mean that the working's the keva and the learning's the arai. There's nothing to do with the amount of time. But Hashem, we'll discuss tomorrow how much you have to work. Everyone could be in for a bit of a surprise. Aval, the nakudi is what's more important to me.
But if it's the learning, why is they are not coming here? What they want here from Toronto? If they want to learn,
sometimes you can learn better there than here. Sometimes there he's Masudah with Panos and Chinuch or whatever, and he's more free to be able to learn. If he comes here, he doesn't have Sundays. He's learning 12 hours a day on Sunday there. He comes here, he'll have to work on Sunday. Maybe that's better to stay there and learn. I don't know.
But the Torah says Israel is good for the Jewish people.
Yeah, but we're in Golis, and sometimes it's better for a Jew to be in Kutzlar than in Eretz Israel. What's with Chinuch? What's with this? He's obviously running after his children and this and that. You know what? There's poor Hashem. His children are good Chinuch. They're doing well. He's got a panasa. He can sit and learn most of the day. He'll come here. He won't have the panasa. His children won't have good Chinuch. He'll be running around trying to help his kids that are going off the derech. He won't be able to learn. Who says it's better? I don't know. I'm not. Each case has to be weighed up on its merits. I'm not about shit to you. I don't say stay there. I don't say come here. I'm not a satman. I'm just very practical. This is not about ideology. It's about where can you steigen, grow and raise a Torah family better. You know, can you do it better in Lakewood or in Beit Shemesh? I don't know. If you do it better, yeah, but you have to come here. But it's a mitzvah to come to Eretz Yisrael. But there's certain mitzvahs on a Rachmana Patra. If you can't, you can't. The previous Klausenberger Rebbe said that the Eretz Yisrael's nickname is Yisurim. Means ruchnias diki yusurim, not necessarily physical yusurim. He said, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I couldn't learn and I couldn't daven for years. I saw the letter. Robert Tetz showed me a letter that the Klausenberger Rebbe had wrote that, I don't know what the guy's name was. He lived in Telstow. Well known writer, I can't remember his name now, who translated this letter. And Tetz showed it to me. And there he writes about the incredible yusurim, spiritual yusurim he had when he moved to Eretz Yisrael. Until after years he was able to Alavai have to be on a level where the Yusurim of Mun Teresuel or Ruchnes the Yusurim, you know, it's not Mizrat Apnim. For most of us, Mizrat Apnim is about as much as we can handle. But he writes there that he couldn't daven or learn for years the way he could in Chutzlaret. Not because Eretz Yisrael is not Mesugal to it, because there was the Nisoyin that he needed. That was the Eretz Yisrael nickname for Yisrael. I don't know what that means, but yeah. Besaprim al Reb Mendelem Mipavanich. If I pronounce that right, I'm not good at these places. Mipavanich. Bnei shel balas vas emes Hashem yokom domov. One of the sons of the vas emes. Shelimedes talmidov tachas shilaton anatzit. His hilchus kiddush Hashem ves alchus shel mitzvah zu. He taught his talmidim the halachas of kiddush Hashem. The Bukhonin told his Talmidim, if we're going to dance Kiddush Hashem, we have to know the halachas. Dilman almanas lasais. So Mendel taught his Talmidim the halachas and the value of the mitzvah of dying as Kiddush Hashem. V'kachu achinim lamus al Kiddush Hashem kishegi ashar. When the time came for them to dance Kiddush Hashem, v'agermanim nachshmoy hovilu otam ela misrofois. The Jersey, the Nazim Akshay were taking them to the furnaces. Hitlabur of Mendel and Talmidim Ma'od Ma'od Megoidel Aschus Shenofle Bechel Kam Lomus Al Kiddush Hashem. They were mitlaevig. They were mamash. They were like, I don't explain the words. They were in ecstasy over the opportunity that had fallen to them to das Kiddush Hashem. Rebbe Kiva v'chaveiroi. V'chilu ratzim. They started running to the gas chambers. The Nazis got very, very upset. The Nazis don't want you to do what you want. They don't want to get what you don't want. It drove them mad that the Jews were so happy. What did the Nazis want? They wanted to break the Jews' morale. They want them depressed and hopeless. They told them, stop running. Screaming at them, stop running, Muladava Loyal, Remendel Im Shikhes Murutzov, he carried on running. So excited, you know, the keeper waited his whole life for this mitzvah. When it comes, I shouldn't run to it. Masa Paketa Nazi. What does Nazi do, the Machshmoy? Not till Yelir Divas, Rokot Otachas Raglev Shurav Mendela. He took a baby, a Jewish baby, and he threw him at the feet of Remendel. Stopped! He's not going to trample on a Jewish baby. Lo yuchla li psoy al yelid yudi. Who not only said b'shtei yodov, he stoyve vel talmidov. He picked up the baby, embraced the baby, turned around to his talmidim, and he said in a very soft voice, Raboisa, eicha shemesh yodat, shi shemesh, vizorechas bekane kom yugdois. How does the sun know that it's the sun, and that it's very hot, and that it's very, very bright, shines terribly bright? How does the sun know? When the sun looks down, it sees that nobody on earth can look at it without these very, you know, special eclipse glasses. Then he understands how bright he must be. No one can even look at me. Rabbi, where do we know that we have Tzelem Elokim? And that we have an Neshama that's a Chelek Elokim Imal. From the fact that the Germans can't look at the face of this little Jewish child. Al pizeh yoidim anu bevadoiz sheponav koirim li'i oira shkina. From there we know for sure that the face of a Jew shines Shechina. How do you know the Jew's face shines Shechina? Avigdor Miller said every time you see a Jew, you must know you're looking at the Shechina. He's Betzelem Elokim, the face of a Jew is Tzelem Elokim. And you have to relate to that face, like you relate to the Shechina. Sometimes it's a bit hard to relate to every Yid, like you're dealing with the Shechina. But that's what Avigdor Miller said, Pasha, just in passing. The face is Tzelem Elokim. Zivyekreis mishtakef ma'ena v'toyreis. A precious light shines out of the eyes of this pure child. V'germanim arishoyim li'yichoyin li'zboilet kudur shosoy. The Germans can't stand the Kedusha. They hate it. Therefore, they have to take a little innocent infant. They've never hurt anybody in the world. Kill it. Where did you ever hear of a nation? You understand they make excuses. These people are bad for the country. It's national security. But where did you have a nation that killed little babies just because, what, you didn't like them? Well, what did this baby do to anybody? They do it because they can't see the beautiful expression that shines out of this child's pure face. They can't see his royal, regal face. So he finished off his last schmooze and walked happily into the gas chambers. So it was in that generation. The goyim showed us, they can't look at us. The mere fact that we existed caused them enormous pain and suffering. They got so angry because of us. Hitler, Yimach Shmoy, said that in the Mein Kampf, you must know that. Hitler said that the Jews are preventing us from fulfilling our purpose in the world of being barbarians. Because they represent conscious, and they matzben us. They upset us and anger us because they don't let us do what we want to do. Because they represent the thing called conscience. They make us feel guilty. When we want to do whatever we want to do, we want to feel good about it. Today they have psychiatrists for that. You don't need a Holocaust for that anymore. We have psychiatrists. They let you do whatever you want and you feel good. Psychologists, therapists, I don't know, it could be the same as, you know, when Avram Avinu got up, when Terah got upset with Avram, he took him to Nimrod and they threw him in the Aish. Because you didn't want to be like everybody else. Today, when you don't want to be like everybody else, they send you for therapy. So I heard one, somebody, can't remember who it was, said it's probably the same, it's the same thing, really. Throwing a kid into the Egyptian ice and sending for therapy could sometimes be the same, you know, the outcome could be exactly the same. But that one doesn't need therapy sometimes, just, you know, who to send them to. But anyway. B'kol Yehudi hishtakef tzelem Elohim. Everyone has Tzelem Elokim. And we have this eternal Imuna. As we mentioned right in the beginning when we started the story about the boy, the Bocher, who found out he wasn't Jewish and decided not to Magaya, was because his Yiddishkeit wasn't personal and original, it wasn't his own personal connection. It wasn't a living well, a living spring. Sorry, a well is not living. It wasn't Maim Chaim. Therefore, his Torah mitzvahs was mitzvahs on not Shem Elumod. It was Kel Oviv, not Ze Keli. So when he discovers he's not Chayiv, he leaves it. When somebody has a personal relation with Hashem, you could prove him I'm not Chayiv as Vos. I'm doing this because I'm Chayiv. Yeah, when a kid wants a new bicycle, he goes to talk to his father because he's Chayiv. You're going to get the bicycle anyway, you have to talk to your father. No, he talks to his father because he knows who his father is, and he knows where he's going to get his bicycle from, and he loves his father, he goes to talk to him. Not because he's chayev, but because he wants the relationship. Es a simcha pnimis she shtokfe mi itnagusoyv es a kudusha sholsho al maise yodo ulechay merot foyse shenei os esef soyne Yaakov. The inner sin that a Jew radiates for them is just too much. And therefore they radiate after them to kill them, because we have a halacha that Esav is saying to Yaakov. And no matter what you do, no matter how friendly he gets, no matter how much he loves you, no matter how nice he is to you, Esav is saying to Yaakov. Finished. That's what it used to be like. Today that's not what it's like. The guy has no problem looking at a Jew. It's changing, but anti-Semitism is starting to raise its ugly head again. And the guy is having a hard time looking at us. Maybe that's a good thing, I don't know. Why are the guy so happy to live with us? Let us into the universities, let us marry their daughters. מפני שיהודי חוסה סמהות היהודית המיוחדת, חוסה לו חיוס הפנימיס. Because we've lost it in a lot. We've lost it in a pnimius of what it means to be a yid. So we don't much fear the goyim. I don't know if this is the sibo or the simon. I don't know what causes what here. Did we lose it or they opened up the doors for us? And whatever. That's not important. What's important is are we Jewish? What do we turn to? Because Pinkas always used to illustrate it like this. If I would ask you to draw a picture of a Chinaman, you could do that. And then I look at it and say, oh, that's Chinese. Ask you to draw me a picture of an African, a Kenyan. You could do that. I'd go, oh yeah, that's from Kenya. Draw me a picture of a Jew that I know that that's a Jew. I'm not talking about the way the Nazis did it, you know, with the long nose and the pears, whatever. Long nose is actually not a Jewish thing. It's a Russian thing. Draw me a picture of a Jew. You couldn't. Because there's Jews from India, and there's Jews from Thailand, and there's Jews from Russia, and there's Jews from all over the world, and they all look different. It's a fella. He said, you know why? Because a Jew doesn't have a muhus of its own. The same way as the moon doesn't have light of its own. Where does the moon get its light from? From the sun. If the moon looks at the sun, it's got light, it shines light. If the moon turns its back on the sun, it's dark. A Jew, whatever he looks at, that's what he looks like. When a Jew comes to America, he becomes the best American in the world. There's no American more American than a Jew. A Puerto Rican stays a Puerto Rican, and a Chinaman stays a Chinaman. And the Schwarzer bleibt der Schwarzer. And the only thing that becomes that all blue, all true American boy is an American, is a Jew. They're the best Americans that ever were. Why? Because when a Jew looks at something, he becomes that thing in essence. Therefore, when a Jew looks at a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he becomes a Tzelem Elokim. When he turns and looks at everything else, he becomes that everything else. He's a mirror. He's a moon. He doesn't have his own essence. He said, that's the problem. When we turn away from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not just a pagam. When the Boch watches a move, it's not just the pagam on his nefesh. It's Oike, his entire essence. Because he's not looking at Hashem now. So you're not looking at Hashem. You become whatever you're looking at. He used to explain it. That's what I heard from Rav Pinkas. That's what I heard from Rav Pinkas. I think it fits in here. Rav Pinkas and Rav Taube worked very closely together for many years. So I don't know who was whose Rebbe, but they were very close. They were the best of friends. Anyway, so I heard that from Rav Pinkas. By the way, he applied, it's not our subject, to Zochav and Akeva. The man is the sun and the woman's the moon. The man has to generate his own energy because he can't get it from anywhere else, because that's why he has to work so hard in Torah. The woman, whatever she looks at, that's what she becomes. She's Obrushus Aviv, Obrushus Bailon. When she tries to become a Rushus of something else, she loses her essence. Much worse than a man. That's another subject. But that's the vortia. When we lose our zekeli, when we lose that personal relationship with Hashem, we forget who we are, then the goyim come to remind us who we are. When we forget how bright, when the sun forgets how bright he is, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu reminds him how bright he is by having an eclipse, and then people have to buy these funny glasses to look at him. No, we'll stop there. We have a long... Long stick coming.